And this Sunday morning, we're going to be starting a series going on Sunday morning entitled, Follow Me. And this message will be the foundation of the series. And there are many calls in the Gospels to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. When he called Matthew at the table of the publican, he was a publican at the table of receipt, and said, follow me. And he rose up and followed him. And we looked recently at verses that talk about how we're to take up our cross daily and follow him. But the question is, follow him where? And this morning, we're going to begin as a foundation, and every Sunday morning over the next several months, we're going to be looking at the life of Christ and looking how we can follow him and emulate him in all that we do. I hope we understand that we're to emulate Christ. Amen. We're to follow him. We're to have the mind of Christ, the actions of Christ, and have the desires of Christ. And we can see what we're to do and where we're to follow him to. And in John chapter 12, this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 26 in a message entitled, Are You Willing to Follow Me? Are you willing to follow me? Now, the me speaking here is speaking of Jesus, not of myself personally. But we're to be following Jesus, and we're to be following his life, and to be following his example, and we're going to be learning that this morning. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 12, beginning in verse number 23, down through verse number 26. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Let's ask the Lord's blessing in prayer this morning. Dearly Father, I pray that this message, dear Lord, would be a message that speaks to our hearts. And Lord, as we look to follow you, and we want to follow you as Christians, but Lord, perhaps some here today are listening by way of the streaming, they have never trusted you as Savior. They have never trusted in your saving power to save them from their sin. For Lord, you wish to forgive sin, and you wish to make us a new creature. I, Lord, if any here today have not done that, that they would accept you. But Lord, I also pray for the Christian who is here, who has tried to follow you, but maybe hasn't fully understood how. And I pray that this morning we would see the need to follow you, that it not just be a good option, but that it be the only option. I pray, dear Lord, that you would use me. Give me the words to say, dear Lord, hide me behind the cross. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would empower me with thy Holy Spirit, and that this message would have free reign in hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Are you willing to follow me? I think all of us in here today, if we took a poll of those who were saved and were Christians and said, how many of you want to follow Jesus? I think everyone raised their hand. I would think we have, as Christians, we have a desire to follow Jesus Christ. But many times when we look at that word, follow me, take up your cross and follow me. We see here in verse number 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. What does that mean? What does that mean to follow Christ? We can't literally follow him physically during his earthly ministry because that was 2,000 years ago. And the meaning of the words follow me in the Gospels not only called the disciples to follow him physically, but to follow what he taught, to follow his example, to follow his direction. And this has meaning this morning, especially when we consider who Jesus is. But first, we'll start out this morning. 3 points this morning, 3 questions. Number one, why Jesus? Why should we follow Jesus? There are so many people to follow today, it's hard to make a choice. I mean, you can follow Muhammad. You can follow Buddha. You can follow one of the thousands of the Hindu gods. You can follow your favorite motivational speaker. You can even follow your favorite televangelist, right? You know, there's so many out there. You got Daystar and all of these people out there. And And I'll just say this, most of the preachers on there aren't worth a plumb nickel because they don't preach the Bible. Some do. I'll give credit to some do. And if they do, they don't preach from the right Bible most of the time. But they try and stay with the Bible. Some do. But most of them, it's more of this health and wealth gospel. Well, if you follow Jesus, you're going to have $1 million. Amen. Then why are we all in here? We have old cars, you know. We should have $1 million by now, right? We should have health. Then why are we sick if we're following Jesus? Well, if you pay $29.99 plus shipping and handling, you can have my prayer hanky and you'll be healed from your sicknesses. That's what a lot of people do. That's not following Jesus. And the person doing that isn't following Jesus either. Did Jesus ever charge money for a miracle? And by the way, you can buy that $29.99 hanky and it doesn't have one bit of miracle in it. Just a piece of cloth. But why do we follow Jesus? Now, he said, well, of course, Pastor, I'm a professing Christian, and I would never follow any of these things. Well, let's see what some Christians follow. Instead, they follow the latest theological trends that are going on today. Do you realize that there are theological trends? Not so many years ago, there was the theological trend of Calvinism, and that is rearing its ugly head again. Or maybe it's the theological trend of rationalism, or the theological trend that, well, the New Testament doesn't say anything about tithing, so we don't have to give 10%. We should just give whatever we feel like. Is that a trend? Oh, yes, it is. A trend that, well, should we really be giving to missions? Well, I'll tell you what, I believe in giving to missions because I believe God believes in it. Amen? Amen? We need to be sending missionaries around the world. So many different theological trends. Or maybe they follow their favorite fundamentalist, right? Your favorite fundamentalist preacher. You know, so who's your favorite fundamentalist preacher? Jesus. Amen? And he wasn't a fundamentalist. Well, we're called a fundamentalist because we line up with him, not because he's not a fundamentalist because he decided to line up with a particular doctrine. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And it doesn't matter if you're called a fundamentalist or, you know what, I believe the Bible. Amen? I think as a Christian we should. We stick a lot of names on things to tell a difference between one and another. But some people, they follow their favorite fundamentalist preacher. You know, and they have a big church and they're flashy and they have a bunch of things. Well, I follow them. And maybe they preach the right thing. Or maybe they follow their favorite Christian author. They follow their favorite books. I mean, there's some good things we can learn from it, but they follow everything that person writes and says. Or they follow their favorite historical preacher or missionary. Maybe they just love Charles Spurgeon. I love Spurgeon too. He was a great preacher. Didn't have his doctrine all figured out though, on some areas. So, well, I follow Spurgeon. Let me tell you something this morning. Now, there are lessons we can learn from their walk with God, no doubt, and there's positive things we can learn. But following these things, this is not following Jesus. We're not to follow man, but to follow the Lord. Now, if we're to boil this down to one question this morning, some, they seek after other paths and other ways, and some, even Christians, they don't really follow Jesus. They follow some of the teachings of other people that are reflected in the life of Jesus, but they're not really following the Bible. You know why? Because they'll follow that person, or they'll follow that preacher, or they'll follow that book into doctrinal error instead of sticking with the book. Amen? Be careful. We're all human beings. We all make mistakes. But Jesus never did and never does. And we need to follow him. If we boil this down to one question only, why should I follow Jesus? Why should I follow him? Well, two questions. Number one, or two answers that I should say. Look at John chapter 10, verse number 30. Back one page. And you know, some people say, well, why should I follow Jesus? Why should I give up my way and follow Jesus? And one answer. There's two answers here. I'm giving two answers. There's really one. Because he's God. Amen? John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Jesus was not a man. Jesus was, yes, a human being, but he was God. Amen? He was deity. He was God in the flesh. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a good man. He just wasn't a teacher. He was all those things, but he was God. And who are we to follow? We're to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is our God, because he is our Creator, because he has all authority over us. And that ends discussion. Amen? Need we go further? He is our God. But also, down a couple of verses, verses 14 and 15, number 2, because he is the good shepherd. So what does the good shepherd have to do with following him? Well, I'll explain that in a moment. John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, John chapter 12, we notice here that this is at the end of Jesus' ministry, the passage we read in opening this morning. This was during the time of the end of his ministry. This was right after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, right before that, in chapter 11, they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. So a lot of things going on here. This was at the end of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus was telling them that he was going to go and lay down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus has done for us all. When Jesus went and bled on that cross, he died for every single one of us. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not good enough to get to heaven. Your good cannot weigh your bad. You know, how many times have we heard, well, God has a great scale, and that my good will outweigh my bad. And I know my good will outweigh my bad one day. I've done a lot of bad things, but I've done more good things, and God has giant, great big scales. I want to ask you something. Where is that in the Bible? It's not there. And it said, well, I was baptized. I was baptized and Jesus washed my sins away. Well, I will tell you one thing. Where is it in here? It's not in there. Only by the shedding of blood is there remission of sins. There's nothing about water washing away sin. It does talk about baptism as a step of obedience after we're saved. You look at the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, what doth hinder me be baptized? Is if thou believest with all thine heart thou mayest. He had to believe first. Had to trust Christ first. Baptism didn't save him. But Jesus Christ and his shed blood. We're incapable of saving ourselves. And by the way, every single person in here today, you're in need of saving. Because I've not done a lot of bad things in my life. I'm not like other people. You're just as dirty a rotten sinner as Hitler. Whoa! I don't agree with that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I haven't done as many bad things as Hitler, granted as that, but just one sin will send you to the pit of hell because God is a just and holy God. He is a just and a holy God, but he's a loving and merciful and gracious God that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, to live, not only just to die, but to live a perfect life, to tell the world that he was their Savior and that he healed and he taught us how to live. But his ultimate goal was to die on the cross, to pay for our sin. He died where we deserve to die. He died in our place. He died as us. When he hung on that cross, he paid for our personal sin, your lies, your wicked thoughts, your deceptions, your stealing, your drugs, your alcohol, your immorality. He died for it and paid for it. And you can be saved from it. Praise God, we can be saved from it. And you can accept him today by realizing where your sin is sending you to, a real place called hell. And you can accept Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and ask him to save you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why he's the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. Now, we must understand something about shepherding. We think of sheep. We think of whenever you see shepherds, you know, he's standing there with the staff that has a crook in it and everything. And that's great, but the crooked shepherd's thing is actually a Western invention in European invention. It isn't in Eastern shepherding. Or maybe it's like, I know what I think of a sheepdog, right? You think, how many see a border collie? You know, the black and white dogs, they run. They're very hyper dogs, good dogs, or maybe collies. And you go and you send them out and you have certain whistles. Have you ever been up to the Homestead Heritage Fair in Waco? They have that in November. They do sheep herding demonstrations with sheepdogs. And that's what we think of. Well, that's Western sheep herding. That's not how it is done in the Middle East, even to this day. And David was a shepherd. And we can see the example of David. A shepherd lives with the sheep 24/7. They go out into the field, and they live there with them. They feed the sheep. They bring the sheep to water, and they stay with them 24/7. He never leaves them. If he did, then others would come and steal the sheep, or some of the sheep would scatter and wander away. A shepherd goes before the sheep. And what it was talking about here, why Jesus, the good shepherd, why he said, follow me, is because Eastern shepherds, they go ahead of their sheep, and they have a relationship with those sheep, and they name those sheep, and they know each one of those sheep. Why? And, you know, we can look at it, we can tell one from another. He can say, well, this one's this one, this one's this one, because he knows them, and they know him, and wherever he goes, they follow him. That's why Jesus is the good shepherd. Because he goes ahead and we're to follow behind because we are his sheep. And he knows us and we know him. Amen. This is a wonderful picture of how we are to follow Christ. You know that Christ does not lead you through anything that he has not been through already himself. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Jesus knew what it was to be hungry and to be thirsty. He knew what it was to be tempted. He knew what it was to feel exhaustion. He knew what it was to suffer loss and pain, just as we do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet without sin. And verse 16, because of that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help of time of need. Because God understands. You know how many people say, well, God doesn't understand me. Ever heard someone say that? I've heard someone say that to me. Well, Jesus doesn't understand. Yes, he does. Does Jesus care? We sing that song. Does Jesus care when heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? Oh, yes, he cares. He cares for you. He is the good shepherd. And shepherds had a relationship with those sheep, and they cared for those sheep, and they would even die protecting those sheep. This is what makes Jesus different from all other religious leaders. If you look at them, the one main difference is they're all dead, and Jesus is still alive. Amen? He sits on the right hand of God. All the others are dead. And you know what? All the other ones, they stand and say, go here, do this, go do this. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, follow me. Go where I'm going. Be where I am. That's how we're to follow him. There is much we can learn from studying the life of Christ, and we will learn much as we go through this. But he made a call for those who would serve him to follow him. But where? Follow him where? Well, that brings us to number two. Okay, well, why? I understand why I'm to follow Jesus, but why follow? Some people may buck at following anyone. Well, I've always been a leader, and I don't follow very well. I'm not really a team player. I'm just kind of a lone wolf. I just go out there, and I kind of make my own way. Well, that does indeed present a problem. Because man has a problem with leading himself, and when man leads himself, and will not heed the leading of the good shepherd, he leads himself through natural means. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. And the natural means that we have available aren't very good. Our natural sense is not very good. Our natural tendencies are not very good. Here's why. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's what we have to look forward to. Lusting, pride, all of these things. This is man's natural way. Look at Proverbs 16, verse number 25. And no matter how good a direction looks, no matter how great it may seem, that this can't miss, it'll end in success. It'll end with me being on top. It'll end with my family being in the right place. And you know what? It looks great. It can't miss. It's a sure thing. Proverbs 16, 15, in the light of the king's heart. Hold on. 25, not 15. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Doesn't matter how right it may seem. If it's not God's way, it's going to end up in death. Doesn't matter how good your way of salvation may seem. You know that everyone has a plan of salvation? All of you have a plan of how your soul is, where your soul is going to end up. Only problem is it God's plan of salvation? Or is it your own? Well, it seems right to me. I feel good about it. You know, I feel, you know what, I understand what you're saying about Jesus dying on the cross for me. And I understand all of that. But, you know, I'm feeling good about my good. I feel good about it. That's great. You're not going to feel good about it when you burn in hell. Because God says nothing about your good outweighing your bad. Well, I feel good about my baptism. You won't feel good about it there. Are we trusting in God's way of salvation? There's a way it seems right, but the end is death. The same goes for our life, even for Christians. Well, this seems like it's a good thing. And you know what? When we go our own way, this is the perfect picture of a sheep. They wander away at times. They wander away. They have their green grass and they have their water. The shepherd's taking care of them. But they decide, you know what? I've learned enough, I think. I think I've learned enough from the shepherd and he has protected me. I'm grown up now. I'm mature and I'm strong and I'm healthy. You know what? I think I can strike out on my own and I can handle it. They wander away and they find themselves trapped or attacked, starving and alone in a mess, wishing that they had stayed with the shepherd. And you know what? And this is not what we do. We wander away and we get ourselves into a mess. And then we wonder, oh, why didn't I just stay following Jesus Christ? Well, why didn't I just stay with the good shepherd? We are not able to lead ourselves. And know what the blessing is? Jesus has compassion on those who have wandered away. He wants to be their leader. He wants the shepherd. He wants to be their shepherd and their leader, but they must want to be led by him. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 and through 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, God wants us to go and find those people. We're just sheep telling other sheep where the shepherd is. If you think about it, we're just sheep. But we know the good shepherd. And the shepherd has saved us from certain peril and destruction. And you know what? We go out in this world and we see people wandering. Hey, I found someone. You should follow Jesus. Amen? That's exactly what we do. Go follow Jesus. I'll show you how you can be saved by him. Look at Matthew 23:37. But there are some that will stay in their own way. That will stay in their own plan of salvation, that will stand in their, maybe they're saved even, but they'll never follow Jesus the way they should. Why? Because they refuse. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. All of us have a choice today. You either have a choice to follow Christ or not to follow Christ. You can either choose to accept Christ as Savior or to reject Him. God does not force Himself on anyone. But He wishes for us to follow Him because this is the best way. Are you willing to let Christ lead you? So, well, I'm not really convinced about that. Well, let's compare our abilities with that of Jesus Christ. Let's start with us first. Man can only see what is here and now. We can only see what's around us. We can only see certain things. We can only see things that are happening right now. We can only understand what he has been taught or experienced. That's all we understand. But what if we were taught wrong? What if we were believed wrong? Man makes mistakes. Amen. We've all made mistakes. So I don't ever make mistakes. Let me ask, did you speed on your way to church this morning? Made a mistake. Amen. Man can be deceived. Oh, we see that in the garden. Over and over again, man can be deceived. But also man lacks wisdom. Well, how do you know that? Then God wouldn't have said in James chapter 1 that we need to ask for it. Amen. We need to ask for wisdom. We lack wisdom. So then we have Christ. Christ can see the end from the beginning. He has an eternal viewpoint. He always has been and always will be. He sees everything. He understands all things. Nobody ever had to teach Jesus anything. He knows all things. He never makes a mistake. Aren't you glad of that? He cannot be deceived because He is the truth and the life. If He is the truth, then there's no way the truth can be deceived because He is truth. And He embodies all wisdom. So let me ask you this. If we were in an election and we were going up against Jesus Christ to be the elected leader of our life, and we really are honest with ourselves about what our abilities are and what our failings are, and then we look at Jesus, let's be real honest. Who would you like to have as your leader? I want Jesus. Who is better qualified? Jesus, the eternal God. The problem is that we don't see the truth about our lack of ability. Well, I know the best way. I don't need Jesus. Oh, you do. I love that hymn, I need thee every hour. Amen. We need the Lord. We think that we can go it alone. That brings us to number 3. Why lose? Now, let's look back at John chapter 12 and verse number 25. Why lose? The teaching of John chapter 12, verse 25 is a life-changing verse. We just read over it in our passage, and we're going to kind of take it apart a little bit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Here's a question. Why do you live your life? What do you live for? Why do you live your life? Well, I think all of us would say this, to accomplish a purpose. Right? All of us have a goal. All of us have a purpose. And that's what we live life for. But I want to ask you another question. Whose purpose and what purpose are you living for? Man naturally wishes to fulfill his own purposes and produced through education or personal goals. When you're taught, well, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make something of yourself. And this is what we teach our children. You got to make something of yourself. And that you're not just going to loaf around and do nothing and fade away. But you need to have a goal of making something of yourself. That just sounds really good, but it can have a dramatic effect on someone's life. Because they think, I have to set my own goal, I have to set my own purpose, and whatever I feel like my purpose needs to be, then I need to fulfill it. Wrong. We're to fulfill God's purposes as a Christian. That's why we teach our young people, they need to pray about what God would have for them to do, not just make goals for themselves and say, well, this is what God wants me to do without asking Him but one thing about it. We need to follow God's purposes and God's will and God's goals for us. By the way, don't shoot too low. Always shoot as high as God wants you to. We are taught to believe that this is the only way to accomplish something in our life, that this is the only way to find fulfillment is through setting goals and defining ourselves by that goal. that we will not be satisfied with life unless we accomplish our goals, unless we make something of ourselves, unless I make that $1 million, unless I accomplish what I want to accomplish in life, that I will be satisfied with that. Unfortunately, the world has lied to you. It's not true. Look at Luke chapter 12 and verse number 18 through 21. In that, the goals that we set and the purposes that we set, and, well, I'm just going to accomplish this. Nothing wrong with goals, by the way. Nothing wrong with that. If you don't have any goals, then you're not going anywhere. But more the question is, whose goals and to what end? If we're doing it to our own purposes and our own end and our own self-glorification, then we're in the wrong business. But we need to do it for the purpose of serving God and loving God and His purposes, which one of them being is we need to be soul winners. Amen. Our goal is to see lost people come to know the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down mine barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we have all the money in all the world, and we have all of these things, and we have everything together, and we say, well, I'm going to accomplish my purpose, and I have been successful, but when you die, where does it all go? You don't keep it. You can't take it to heaven with you when you die. You can't take your fancy car. You can't take your big house. You can't take anything with you. And if we haven't been investing in heaven, then there will be nothing for us there. Oh, we'll be there. We'll be in the halls of heaven because we're saved. Because we know the Lord, but there's no reward there. There's no riches there. There's no eternal fruit. There's no souls for the Lord there. Because we left it all behind here. And we get up there, and then at that time, I don't know how many people have gotten to heaven, and then they finally understand. And they regret. Is it, will there be regrets in heaven? Oh, yes. When we come face to face with our Lord and we realize we could have done more. When we realize that we didn't have it all figured out. When we realize that we made a major mistake in not following Jesus. Well, I think I will be satisfied with accomplishing all my goals. I want you to turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I encourage you to study Ecclesiastes this week. If you think you'll be satisfied with reaching your self-made goals, then you have more wisdom than Solomon. Well, no one had more wisdom on this earth than Solomon besides the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Solomon found out? Solomon tried it all. If you read Ecclesiastes, it gives all the list of things that he did. He planted orchards, and he had gardens. He had building projects. He made the most beautiful of the wonders of the world. And he built palaces and houses, and he worked, and he saw all of these things. And he built glorious things where everyone in the earth said, look at what Solomon has made. Look at great King Solomon. Look at all the gold and all the riches and all the glory. And look at all that he has. And he goes, says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 in verse number 11. After seeing it all and doing it all, and this is repeated throughout the entire book, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. None. Not one thing good left. Let me ask you something. Is there anything that Solomon built or did around today? No. Not one thing. But there is. What God taught Solomon. And it will abide forever. But he didn't do this until he started following his Lord. what really matters and what really lasts. What's done for God lasts. Now, this is exactly what John chapter 12, verse 25, so we mean losing. He that loveth his life shall lose it. I said, you know, Pastor, I want to serve God. I want to follow Jesus Christ, but I don't have the equipment. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the temperament, or there's just so much that I wish I could do, but I can't, so I'm just not going to follow Jesus. Or maybe you fear what God will ask you to do. Or maybe you fear what situations you'll find yourself in. And you maybe fear all of these things, but you means you love your life so much, you lose it. Does it mean I'll lose, I'll die? No, it doesn't mean that. You'll lose your life really mattering in all of eternity. You'll lose your effectiveness. You'll lose the eternal reward. You'll lose the well done, thou good and faithful servant from our Lord. But, and he that hateth his life, meaning that he doesn't count his life to be worth very much, but just wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. He's also talking about salvation. Well, I love my way. I love my way I do things. I don't think I need Jesus Christ. You'll lose your life in hell for all of eternity. But if you realize you need Jesus Christ, when you realize that you need him to save your soul, when you realize you need to follow him in all that you do and all that he has done for you, you need to follow him, you will what? Keep it unto life eternal. So I want to serve God. We think that we're getting the good life, and the reality is that you're losing the best life you could ever live. The best life we can ever live is to follow Jesus Christ. If you will die to your goals, dreams, and desires, thereby making Christ your everything, then you have gained a life that satisfies, a life lived in Christ Jesus. Now here's another truth quickly before we close this morning that verse number 26 teaches us. If a man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, this is an important truth. Now, how many of us have thought about this, that, well, wherever we go, Jesus is with me. No matter what I go, where I go, what I do, Jesus is right there with me. You know, that sounds real good, but it's not true. You know what? If we're to follow Jesus, we're to be where he is, not him with us. We switch it around because that, like, we're in charge of where we go, but Jesus will follow right along behind us. No, we follow him. We're right behind Jesus. He said if we're following him and if we're serving him, what does verse 26 say? Let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. So if we're following Jesus, we're going to be where he is. Some people say, it doesn't matter what I do and where I go, Jesus will be right there with me. That's not true. He'll never leave us or forsake us, Pastor. Yes, I understand that. But you look at the verses around that, those that do right and are with Jesus and following him, he'll never leave us or forsake us because we're with him. Oh, but we can forsake God. Oh, we can forsake Jesus in the way, and we can go our own way. And you know what? If you're out of the will of God, you are in a place where Jesus is not. If there's a place here in verse number 26, where I am, there shall also my servant be. If that is true, then the opposite can also be true. That we can be in a place where Jesus is not. And that's a scary thought. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit with us all the time. I understand that. But if we're to follow Jesus in his path and in his way, then there can be a place when we're not where Jesus is. But he's over here waiting for us to follow him, and we've gone our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. You know why they've gone astray? Because they're not where the shepherd is. Jesus is the good shepherd. And he is in a particular place that we're to follow him. And if we're not following him, then we are in a place where Jesus is not. And that's a scary place to be. Outside of God's will. Outside of God's protection. We're to follow and go where Jesus Christ is. If we're walking with God, then we are where Jesus is. If we're not walking in the will of the Lord, then we are not in the place that God wants us. Then we are not in the place where Jesus is waiting for us to follow him. How many of you have gone on a hike sometime in your life? You've gone on a hike, maybe it's when you were Boy Scout or something. You've been on a hike. Some of you have been on a hike. Okay. Now, how many of you were maybe not the fastest hiker, but there was always someone a little faster? Right? And there was always that group. Whenever, no matter how many times I've taken young people out hiking, there's two groups. There's the fast group, and then there's the slower group. And it's always the fast group that goes ahead, and they have to wait for the slower group to catch up, right? Picture that in the path that we're going on, we need to make sure we follow Jesus in the way that he wants us to follow him. You know what we do? We go on the trail and say, wait, explain to me why I have to follow this. Why are we on this path? And we spend all this time, and Jesus is way up there waiting for us because we're dragging our feet. And we won't go. And then sometimes we say, well, yes, Lord, we're on this path, and we're going, and we go right past him. And we're going on ahead. But what we didn't fail to realize is that there's a fork in the trail, and we decide, well, we know where we're going, and we take the wrong fork. We go to the left when Jesus said, no, you had to wait for me, and let's go to the right. And we get ourselves in trouble because we either go too slow or we go too fast. We need to stay right where Jesus is. Not drag along behind him or run ahead of him, but stay right along with him. Close to him. If we're running ahead of God, we're not walking closely with him. If we're lagging behind, we're still not walking closely with him. But walking close. Close means what? Close. I'm close to the pulpit. I am far away from the pulpit. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? In closing, are you willing to follow? Are you willing to follow Jesus? This is the basis of this series. Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to admit you cannot lead, but you need to follow the Good Shepherd? Have you followed the Good Shepherd and accepted his gift of salvation this morning? Have you accepted what he has done for you and asked for forgiveness of sin? If not, there's an opportunity for you to be saved this morning. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven this morning. Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to go where he tells you to go? And are you willing to follow where he's leading you? Remember, Jesus is there if we're following him. I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to go this way. I want to go this way. You have the ability to do that. Remember, you're going down a path where Jesus is not there. And you're on your own. This is a scary place to be as a Christian. I don't know about you. I want to make sure I'm on the path that Jesus has and where he is. Because I know I can't do the Christian life. I can't live it alone. We need the Lord. Are you willing to follow this morning? Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that you will bless this invitation time. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for your leading and for your guidance. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bring us closer to you this morning. And if any who have walked in a path where you are not there, dear Lord, that they would return to you and return to your path. And perhaps some here today, they are sheep scattered. They are lost in sin. And Lord, you wish to save them and you wish to bring them out of their wandering and back to yourself. I pray, dear Lord, that you would touch hearts. And that those who need you, dear Lord, would be convicted of their sin and cry out to you and wish to be saved this morning. Whether here in the auditorium or on the stream, Lord, we do not know. Lord, I pray that you, dear Lord, would work in hearts, also in the hearts of Christians. Oh, Lord, that we would follow you, not follow everything else, but follow you and you alone. That we cast all else aside and that we would lose our life for your sake, to live for you. I pray that you guide and direct us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.